We're living in a country where the whole science of psychiatry, with some notable exceptions, under the leadership of Sigmund Freud, anyone who believes this is Freud, anyone who believes that we are to avoid, quote, sin here on earth, to avoid hell and reach heaven in the world to come, is psychotic, unquote, Sigmund Freud. My dear fellow psychotics, this is the world we're living in. Having done my own graduate studies in psychology before being shifted by superiors into theology, I have no illusion of how widespread is, what shall I call it, an error, or the popular fancy that what Christianity calls sin, well, is the suppression of our desires. Oh, how specific I could be, what names I could name, but I forbear. Christianity alone, having taught for over 30 years comparative religion, Hinduism, Buddhism, of course, Judaism and Protestantism. Christianity, and within Christianity, Catholic Christianity, alone makes sense of the evil in the world. Whatever else I hope during these days that we're together, I hope to clarify your minds at least a little bit. Clear thinking. To know the meaning of evil. Evil is that which the will does not want. It all depends on whose will we're talking about. If it is contrary to our will, we call it pain, otherwise known as physical evil. If it is contrary to the will of God, it is sin, otherwise known as moral evil. There's not a class in theology, not a course in soteriology, or divine grace, or morality. But we better know something, know it, in a world in which the newspapers, one newspaper after another, day after day, glamorizes, glorifies, publicizes, dramatizes sin. Let's wake up. What then is the purpose in God's providence for allowing sin in the world? That he might draw, listen, he might draw greater good, talk about mystery, greater good, somehow, because of, occasioned by, since there has been sin in the world. Indeed, greater good in the Easter Vigil on Holy Saturday in Latin, how happy I was to participate in a Mass said in Latin. Multum, multum, mihi placet. I hope you're studying some Latin, are you? Pardon me. If you're not studying Latin, learn some Latin. Our maternal language. Language of Mother Church. Fabius Culpa, remember? Oh, happy sin. Happy sin. It's somewhat toned down. Oh, happy fall. Oh, happy fault. Because of which God, we believe, became man. Now, the principal focus of this meditation is on part 3, sin in God's providence in our own lives. We are all sinners, and we know we are. But God had a purpose, and He wants us to benefit from that purpose. In other words, God allowed us to sin that, hear it, we might serve Him more faithfully, love Him more deeply, and know Him more profoundly than in His ordinary providence. We have to say this. And God foresaw He would have, had He not sinned. Remember the sinful woman at Christ's feet and the hypocritical Pharisee. What kind of a man is this? Doesn't he know that he's a prostitute? That is, you know, washing his feet, as it happened, with her tears. And then Christ, remember, made the observation. Many sins have been forgiven her because she has loved much. To love more, God knows why He allowed the great sinners of history and the lesser sinners, ourselves, to have offended Him. He wants us to love Him more. The classic event, of course, is after Christ's resurrection from the dead. When, having fished all night and caught nothing, perfect. Then, Christ is on the shore. The Apostle John recognizes Him, tells Peter. Peter dives into the water. Christ then tells them to throw their net. Remember? Who remembers how many fish they caught? 153. Then Christ served them a meal. And after they were well fed, he took Peter aside. Did not even call him Peter, Simon. And asked him, first question, Simon, do you love me more than these do? How could Peter know how much the other events, how much the other apostles loved Christ? He couldn't. But he knew how much he should love Christ, because he knew that he had denied his master. Either we make sense of the sin in our life, or we're not really awake spiritually. God has allowed us to sin so that, having sinned, and in each case I've got 10 adjectives, I could have made it 40. Because he wants us to be more what? More humble than we would have been had we not sinned. The deepest humiliation is not the humiliation caused by others. The deepest humiliation is in our own minds and hearts. No matter what anyone else can say about us, we know ourselves too well. So we might be more humble than we would have been had we not sinned. Or we might be more believing. You mean we can be more or less believing? We sure can. And how we need faith in God's mercy. Even the atheist Freud, after a lifetime of practice of psychoanalysis, he said, of course he used his own meaning for the terms he used, he knows of no exception among the people that he treated over a whole lifetime for emotional and mental problems. Everyone, he said, everyone that I treated had a deep sense of guilt, cause of disturbance, distress, worry, anxiety. I've dealt with too many people, including both successfully and unsuccessfully, people who want to commit suicide. Some I prevented from doing so, others I did not succeed. But because we have sinned, we will be more believing. Believing what? Believing in God's mercy. And because we have sinned, we will become more prayerful. But now we all know ourselves too well. What fools, what raving idiots we are left to ourselves. How we need constantly the help of God. Why has God allowed us to sin? That we might be more patient. I remind people, if they know, or tell them if they don't know, the Latin verb to suffer is patiens, to be more patient, more willing to suffer. Everybody suffers, not everybody is patient. Patience is voluntary suffering. I've got it coming. I'm a sinner. Number five, that we might be more fervent. No village is life too well. My own community, and by now in years in working for the Congregation for Villages, how well I know the massive disintegration of once fervent village life in a country like ours. More fervent, we can become so habituated, go through a certain routine, and the heart not being in what we're doing. Having sinned, we dare not become casual in our service of God. Sixth, because we have sinned, we should be more merciful. Merciful to whom? Merciful to those whom God in His wonderful providence puts into our lives to cause us pain. Thank God for the unkind, the uncouth, the nasty, the thoughtless, the mean people in your life. Thank God. They are gifts. Because, having sinned ourselves, and we want mercy from God, that's why God put these people into our lives. So open our eyes. It's a real world. 90% of the millions of books read in the United States each year, 90% are fiction. People living in an unreal world. And because we have sinned, number seven, we might be more generous. When we think of how generous God has been to us, quite frankly, whether you have analyzed all your motives for entering the religious life, I can give you one reason. One reason for becoming a religious is to be able to be more generous with God. By undertaking and undergoing a way of life that, absolutely speaking, you would not have had to live. Number eight. So, we may be more persevering. It is one thing to start with bursting fervor. It's something else to keep going and going and never be bored by the spiritual life. Number 9, because we have sinned, we should be more zealous than we would have been had we not sinned. Zealous means more generous in sharing with others what God has so undeservingly given us. The purpose of serving God, the purpose of becoming holy, is not that we may become holy, period. That we might become more holy indeed, that God then might use us as more effective channels of His grace. Spend ourselves, exhaust ourselves. Anytime you go to bed, you're not tired, confess it in your next confession. I mean it. Why has God allowed us to sin, that we might be more hopeful than we would have been had we not sinned? Say that again. God has allowed us to sin, that we might be more hopeful than we would have been had we not sinned. Hope, as you know, is a virtue which enables us to be confident that the promises God has made, He will fulfill. Why then should we be more hopeful? Because we know how generous and merciful God has been to us so far. Can you imagine, without blasphemy, allowing yourself to think for one moment that He will not be more generous and more merciful in the years, in time, and the eternity in the future? Only God knows. But I believe most of the saints in heaven are converted sinners. But they were sinners who had faith, and sinners who believed that God does not allow sin without a purpose. And the purpose in God's providence is that we might do more for His glory, bring more souls to heaven, and achieve higher sanctity than, and I mean this, that God, who knows all things He foresaw, would have been achieved had we mysteriously not sinned, been forgiven, and now have the task ahead of us of using the mercy of God in order to share this mercy with everyone that is our lives. I have a closing prayer. Mary, Mother of God, you were conceived without sin. You never actually sinned, but you are the mother of our Redeemer from sin. obtain for us something of your deep understanding of how terrible is sin, of how much sin offends your divine Son. Ask him to have mercy on us sinners and to give us the grace of expiating for our sins. Ask him to make us more humble, more believing, more prayerful, more patient, more fervent, more merciful, more generous, more persevering, more zealous, and more hopeful as a result of our past sins. Ask him to protect us from ever losing his friendship through mortal sin, and to make us more and more free from deliberate sin as we come closer to eternity. So that, dear Mother, though we are like you, are conceived in sin, might enter eternity without sin. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.